Daniel chapter 4, we're looking today at the madness of the ungodly. And with that, we're specifically looking at a dream. Dreams are not unfamiliar here in the book of Daniel. We're only four chapters in, and this is already the second dream that we encounter. The second dream from the same individual. And so, as I think about dreams, there's some dreams that are meaningful. There are other dreams that are disturbing. As one who's suffered from night terrors since he was 18 months old, there are many dreams that are disturbing. Psychologists would tell you and me that dreams are just the way that the mind works out the events of the day. But what about you and me? As a congregation, we have a dream of the Lord working through us to establish a thriving, confessional, reformed presence in this area. What does God say, though? What does God say about dreams? Are dreams to be seen as always meaningful? Are dreams to be seen as always disturbing? Indeed, this is the second dream, and both times Nebuchadnezzar has been disturbed. Or are they just a way of the mind working itself out? Indeed, we see throughout the scriptures dreams being used. But we don't hear as much about dreams being used now because we have the full canon of scripture. One man said that if a dream says something that Scripture doesn't say, it's unbiblical. If a dream says something that the Scripture does say, it's unneeded. So today's text, we're looking at 33 verses. We see an unimpressed witness, mercy even towards pagans, and judgment. An unimpressed witness, mercy even towards pagans, and judgment. Daniel chapter 1, the first 18 verses. Or Daniel chapter 4, the first 18 verses. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages who dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. So far, Nebuchadnezzar sounds like he's an evangelist. So far, it sounds like he's been converted. So far, it sounds like something has happened within him from what he has seen and heard. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Notice, previously, he has just been giving praise to the one true God, and now he shows his true self, saying that Daniel was given a Babylonian name of his God, and distinguishing his God from the holy God. And before him I told the dream, saying, Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you. Tell me the visions of my dream that I've seen and its interpretation. Now these were the visions of my mind while on my bed. I saw a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its height reached heaven, and it was visible to the end of all the earth. Its leaves were fair and its fruit much, and in it was food for all. The animals of the field had shadow under it, and the fowl of the heavens lived in its boughs, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and there was a holy watcher coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, "Hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals get away from under it and the fowl from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let its portion be with the animals and the grass of the earth. Let its heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of an animal. And let 7 periods of time pass over it. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills and sets up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, tell its interpretation to me, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you." As we go to the Lord in prayer, set your heart, set your mind, set your eyes on the Spirit of the Holy God, whom Nebuchadnezzar recognized. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. Lord, we thank you for your revelation. Lord, we thank you for your revelation, obviously within your word that is sure and true and complete. Lord, we also thank you for your general revelation, so that even the most pagan of men, even those who have never been exposed to your word, know deep down within them that they are empty and vile. They know that there's something, someone beyond them. And whether they admit it or not, they know that there's a creator, a designer behind all that is. Lord, we know that your word says that there's nothing new under the sun. This Nebuchadnezzar was not an island. Indeed, there are many in our day who are just like him. Who see and hear the greatness of your power, and remain indifferent, continuing to serve the gods of their own minds, of their own making. Lord, give us stamina, give us fortitude, give us strength, that we might be found as faithful witnesses testifying to your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, and even your judgment. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. What's going on in these first 18 verses? What do we see here in this unimpressed witness? What have we seen so far in the book of Daniel? We've seen so far in the book of Daniel that those 4 Hebrew children, they said, "We will not eat the diet of the king. God has a law, and we will not disobey God's law. Give us fruits. Give us vegetables." And the king witnessed that these Hebrew children were nourished much better than those of whom were given the king's delicacies. He knew that the Spirit of the Holy God enabled Daniel to interpret his dream at the first. He knew, he saw the work of the Lord that we talked about the last 3 weeks with regard to that great image that he erected. And the three Hebrew children refusing to comply, refusing to bow down. He saw the miracle of God as not just three, but four men were in the middle of that fiery furnace, walking about loose and praising God. As I've already stated, Daniel, here in this text, is referred to by his Babylonian name, Belteshazzar, meaning, may Bel protect his life. Bel is the chief god of Babylon, the god to whom Nebuchadnezzar worships. The god of whom Nebuchadnezzar says Bel is his god and distinguishes Bel from the most holy god. This Nebuchadnezzar witnessed much. In just three chapters, he witnessed much. But his heart was still full of pride. Have you ever encountered somebody like that? Have you ever tried sharing the gospel with somebody like that? Have you ever tried sharing what Jesus has done in you and for you and through you with somebody like that? Have you ever encountered somebody who was an unimpressed witness, who heard the gospel over and over and over again, but still chose to worship their own God? It may not be Bel. Probably wasn't Bel. But it was a God of their own making. It may have even been, because we live in a culturally Christian nation. It may have been a form of Jesus that was fashioned after their own liking. So that when they heard your testimony, when they heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus, it didn't match what they thought Jesus should be. And although you did your very best, although you spoke and the Spirit spoke through you, they were unimpressed. Their hearts are full of pride. It's pride that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. It was pride that got Adam kicked out of the garden. And regardless of whatever sin somebody is succumbed by, whatever sin has its clutches on a person, the root sin is pride. Nebuchadnezzar did not submit his own kingdom to the kingdom of God. After all that he saw, he hears his own soothsayers, his own Chaldeans, his own astrologers, his own people say, unless you tell us a dream, we can't give you an interpretation. And he doubles down. I will not tell the dream. Daniel comes. Daniel goes back and has the three others pray with him. Daniel provides not only the dream, but the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar knows that there's something different about Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar saw the three Hebrew children bound and thrown in the fiery furnace, saw them loose and walking about, witnessed that not even the stench of smoke was on their clothes. And although he can say this was the most holy God, although he could say I mean, look there at the beginning. Peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders of the Most High God and what He's done for me. How great are His signs. How mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar is declaring all this. He's uttering with his mouth. He's acknowledging with his mind. But his heart is devoted to his own pride and devoted to his own kingdom. He will not submit his kingdom. And that's the thing. When you and me share the gospel, we've done our part. We're not trying to convert. It's not our job to convert anyone. It's our job to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit then takes the gospel, applies it to hearts, and converts sinners. Nebuchadnezzar knew the gospel. Perhaps better than many today. Perhaps better than many who even sit in pews behind stained glass windows, under steeples today. But he was unimpressed. God confronted the king's pride through a vision of a tree. And what do we know about that tree? That tree was a picture of Nebuchadnezzar. God works through pictures. Think about just a couple of chapters ago. Nebuchadnezzar has this dream of this great image, head, shoulders, waist, thighs, feet, from gold all the way down to clay and iron. Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head. And everything's downhill from there. Now, Nebuchadnezzar sees himself in a dream again, this time as a tree, and it's been cut off with only a stump left. Now we see in verses 13 and 17 a reference to the watcher. Who were these watchers? Look in verse 13. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and there was a holy watcher coming down from heaven. Verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He wills and sets up over it the basest of men. Who are these watchers? Verse 23, we haven't got there yet, but I'll go ahead and read it. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it. Yet leave the stump and its roots in the ground, even with the band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the animals of the field until seven periods of time pass over. Who are these watchers? These watchers are angels on special appointment from the Lord. These watchers are angels, the Lord's messengers. The Lord's foot soldiers, if you will. Nebuchadnezzar was king. He had a great kingdom. And great kingdoms have what? They have great militaries. God is sovereign king. And He has a great military of angels. And He appoints angels for specific tasks. And these watchers are those angels appointed for certain tasks. This unimpressed witness has this dream. Daniel gives him the interpretation, and we see in the interpretation mercy. Mercy is extended toward Nebuchadnezzar. God didn't have to extend mercy. God didn't have to give Nebuchadnezzar this dream. God could have simply judged Nebuchadnezzar for his continued defiance against the Most Holy God. But God chose to give this dream. And we see in verses 19 through 27, Daniel's interpretation. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a while, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, if only the dream was for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens and was visible to all the earth, and whose leaves were fair and its fruit much, and in it was food for all, under which the animals of the field lived, and upon whose branches the fowl of the heavens have their habitation. It is you. Why is Daniel troubled? Because he's speaking to the king. He's got to give a negative message to the king. He's got to give bad news to the king. What happens in that era if you give bad news to the king? It's your life. But he has to deliver bad news, because if not, he's got to answer to God. And he'd much rather suffer whatever Nebuchadnezzar wants than suffer whatever God has. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to the heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. Whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, cut the tree down and destroy it, yet let leave the stump of its roots to the ground, even with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the animals of the field until seven periods of time pass over it. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High. See, so far, Daniel's not getting in trouble, because all he's saying, that the tree is you. He hasn't gotten to the bad news part. When you and me talk to these folks who are unimpressed witnesses, when you and me share the gospel, share what Jesus has done for us and in us and through us and with us, and they're unimpressed, we're simply sharing the bad news. And yeah, the gospel is the good news that Jesus came to save sinners, but you got to first share the bad news that they're sinners, that what they're doing is bad. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord and King. You shall be driven away from men, and your dwelling shall be with the wild animals. You shall be given grass to eat like oxen, and wet with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, until you've learned that the Most High rules of the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. Inasmuch as they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you, and break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. God didn't have to give Nebuchadnezzar this dream. God could have simply moved from Nebuchadnezzar's sin, Nebuchadnezzar's defiance, to judgment. But no, God chose to give him this dream and chose Daniel to interpret the dream of what things will happen. Daniel's interpretation shows God's merciful attitude toward even arrogant pagans. This was a warning. Just like, think about the book of Jonah. Jonah is called by God to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm not going, God, because I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to preach the message you give me. They're going to repent, and you're not going to punish them. So he goes off the opposite direction. Finally, God gets Jonah's attention. Jonah ends up in Nineveh. Did Jonah learn his lesson? Absolutely not. He preached the gospel. The people repented. And rather than being pumped up, that God's done a wonderful work in the lives of the Ninevites, Jonah goes up and has a pity party. He goes up under a tree and pouts until God has to get his attention. This dream and its interpretation is God's way of getting Nebuchadnezzar's attention. Nebuchadnezzar, you've now heard the gospel. You heard the gospel through Daniel and the interpretation of that first vision. You've heard the gospel as you witnessed what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and heard the response after they came out of the fire. You're hearing the gospel now of what's going to happen if you don't relent, if you don't acknowledge me. Even someone as arrogant as Nebuchadnezzar is extended mercy. That man, that woman that you share the gospel with, that is unimpressed, that is unmoved, your sharing the gospel is God's mercy being extended to them. They may be like Nebuchadnezzar. They may have to go through a period of time where they lose everything, where they're reduced to madness and insanity, running about as an animal and not as a man. But the fact that you share the gospel with them is evidence of God's mercy upon them. Indeed, our presence in the world. Wouldn't it be great if the moment we got saved, God just whoop, just like on Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty? Wouldn't it be great if the moment we got saved, God just beamed us up and we ended up right in heaven and we didn't have to go through all this mess we had to go through? But our presence in the earth is God's act of mercy upon arrogant sinners. Because if we weren't here, then they would be able to run free and be 10 times, 20 times, 100 times worse than what they are now. The fact that you and me are here is like salt that pushes back against decay. The interpretation was a word from the Lord showing God's desire that world powers surrender to his lordship. God desires for even the world powers. Think about the Apostle Paul. In an empire where the king would imprison folks who preached Jesus is Lord rather than Caesar is Lord, God allows Paul to stand even before Caesar and declare the gospel. Why? Because God desires that world powers surrender to his lordship. There's insight in verse 25. You shall be driven away from men, and your dwelling shall be with the wild animals. You shall be given grass to eat like oxen, and wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 times shall pass over you until you have learned that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. The insight is into the coming kingdom of God. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know that right now we're closer than we've ever been. We know that from the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to now, Jesus has been building his kingdom. Indeed, every time a sinner turns from his sin to the Savior, every time a sinner surrenders to Jesus as Lord, the kingdom is increased. The kingdom grows. The kingdom expands. The kingdom is greater now than it was 10 years ago. The kingdom is greater now than it was 50 years ago. The kingdom is greater now than it was 100 years ago. Why is that? Because there are people who are saved now that weren't saved then. All human government will come under the authority of the transcendent living God. Whether it's Putin, Or the guy in North Korea, Kim Jong-un. Or communist China. Or Hamas. All human government will come under the authority of the living God. How does Paul say it? Every knee will bow. There's going to be the knees of us as believers will bow willingly, surrendering. The knees of the unrepentant, the knees of the ungodly, the knees of evil human empires will be forced to the ground. We will declare and praise Jesus is Lord. They will declare by compulsion, Jesus is Lord. And then judgment, verses 28 through 33. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked on the roof of the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke. You know what we see right here in 28 through 33? Short memories. 12 months after this dream and its interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar's already forgotten what he heard. He's on the roof of his palace. The king spoke, saying, "Is this not Babylon the Great that I myself have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven away from men, and your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field. You shall be given grass to eat as oxen, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills." Immediately, the thing was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and ate grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven until his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. The king boasted. You and me can look at this and say, you know what? There's no way that I could receive a message like this and walk away unchanged. There's no way that I could receive a message like this and be unimpressed. There's no way that I could receive a message like this and not turn to God. But by the grace of God, there go I. The only reason that you are who you are right now is because of the grace of God. You didn't muster up enough courage. You didn't muster up enough honor. You didn't muster up enough of anything inside of you to say, okay, this gospel message is good. God gave you a new heart. The king did not have that new heart. He boasted of his own power. I built this residence. I built this kingdom. And that voice, this time not coming from Daniel, but straight from heaven, said, okay, everything's gone. The judgment that Daniel prophesied fell. 12 short months after hearing the warning and not heeding, everything fell upon Nebuchadnezzar. He became insane. He acted like an animal. He was banished from the very kingdom he ruled. He was banished from the very kingdom he ruled. Who have you been working with? Who have you been working on? Who have you been sharing the gospel with? Who is still at this point unimpressed? Don't give up. Are you impressed or are you unimpressed? Where's our dependence as a congregation? Is our dependence on what we can do as sovereign grace? What we can cobble together? Or is our dependence upon the holy, mighty God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we declare our dependence upon you. For it is only through you that any one of us is a man or a woman of God. It's only through you that we can be a congregation that brings glory and honor to your name. Lord, we pray that you would shape us, that we would heed, that we would not be like Nebuchadnezzar, but that we would heed your warnings and surrender those parts of our lives that we've not yet surrendered. For we know that there's parts of each of our lives that remain unsurrendered. Lord, help us to examine our hearts this morning for those areas that we've been holding on to, for those thoughts, for those dreams, for those hopes, for those aspirations that we're holding on to. And make us to surrender them to you, to your kingship, to your lordship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.